The following podcast is a Dear Media production.
Dear Media IRL is back, and we're showing up bigger, better, and louder than ever. Join us on May 4th in Austin, Texas for the ultimate live podcasting experience. Watch and learn from your favorite Dear Media hosts as they bring their insightful discussions from your headphones to the stage. Get ready to be inspired, entertained, and watch audio get a makeover. Tickets are on sale now at dearmedia.com/IRL. See you on May 4th in Austin. In Texas. From Vanderpump Rules to motherhood and everywhere in between, it's time to catch up with Sheena Shea. This is Shenanigans. And now, here's your host, Sheena Shea.
Hello, hello, and welcome back to Shenanigans and another episode of Sheena Spills. You all sent in a lot of questions. I'm going to try to get through as many of these as I can. I tend to get out of breath when I do these episodes because I'm just talking to myself. It's already been a big week. I just left set. I am filming my very first scripted project in a while, which is so fun because Brock and I actually booked a couple's role on Lopez versus Lopez. We get to play a space engineer and a surgeon, and I'm so excited. But this role came while we're in between a move, preparing for the reunion, binging all of the Vanderpump Rules episodes. So it's been a week, but it's been a very exciting week, and I can't wait to get into some shenanigans with you guys. So I saw a lot of comments about Ariana stuff. So I kind of wanted to start with that based on this week's episode. Do you regret your comment about Ariana being your backup dancer? I literally meant this as a joke. I did not mean shade. I feel like often at times when I tend to be self-deprecating, it's not received well. It doesn't land. And I always look for opportunities where the show can do flashbacks. And I think that's one thing that I've been really good about in my now 11 seasons on the show is just bringing up moments where you can look back because it's always fun to see a flashback. So there was no shade meant by that. Ariana is an incredible dancer, as we all saw on Dancing with the Stars. That's why I asked her to be a part of my Roxy show to begin with, because I knew she would elevate that performance. And there is no way in hell I would have wanted to compete against her on Dancing with the Stars. So I just want to put that out there. That was not meant to be shade. And I'm sorry that it came out that way, because I also saw another question. Why are you trashing Ariana? And it's like, I'm not. Our friendship is very real. It existed before reality TV cameras came in the mix. You know, I'm the person who begged her to do this show with me because I didn't have any friends outside of Tom Sandoval in this group. And I feel like way past the reality show and the cameras one day, our friendship is always going to exist. She is family. She is Auntie Unicorn. And yeah, I think this season, I know because I've now seen so many episodes this week preparing for the reunion, you're going to see in the upcoming weeks how we navigate some of those bumps in the road. So stay tuned, but her and I are good. We've always been good. It's just, you know, trying to figure out this whole world that we're in and how to coexist with people who she no longer wants in her life. So it's been challenging, but we're getting through it. Do you regret your Dancing with the Stars comment? Look, to save myself the embarrassment, sure. But that was my genuine emotion in the moment. And as cringe as I might be sometimes, I don't ever regret sharing. That is literally my job here. I feel like this season, I was priding myself on trying to be the most open and honest version of myself, even if at times the audience may not agree with me, if people think I should be acting one way and I'm acting another, putting arguments with my husband on camera. I mean, I went way out of my comfort zone this season, and I'm hoping that y'all can show me some grace and just understand that a lot of the things that we're navigating are relatable, and I'm putting it all out there because I hope that it helps people who have gone through similar things. But yeah, I felt like in that moment, knowing that other people knew about Dancing with the Stars and I was one of the last to find out, it just hurt my feelings. Because if there was an NDA, but other people knew, then why didn't I know? Does that mean you don't trust me anymore? And I just felt really hurt in that moment because I used to be the person she would tell everything to first. So that's how I felt. But looking back, yeah, I wish we could have just skipped over all of that, because the next question is, how do you feel about the backlash you've been receiving recently? Do you get tired of it seeming like people are just determined to misunderstand you? How do you remain so strong with all of the criticism on social media? At the end of the day, I mean, it's just noise. And now that I'm a mom, I feel like I can't live in that noise. I need to create peace within myself so that my daughter isn't living in that noise. And you'll see a bit of that, I think, this week and next week with Lala as well, just trying to create that peace. And I think her and I have been able to get to such a close place in our friendship because our values are really aligned and we just really get each other. And having our kids grow up with moms and just parents, you know, who can try to center themselves and have as much peace as possible is really important to both of us. So that's what I've been trying to do. And hopefully I'm doing a good job and just being a version of myself that my daughter is proud of. That is my ultimate goal at the end of the day. How are you and Ariana since you said you don't hear from her that much? Look, girl is booked and busy. She's on Broadway, and I know it's not just me. So I'm not taking it personal that I don't hear from her as much. If I check in, I usually will hear back. And if I don't, I know it's because she's busy. I try to message at a time when I know she's maybe not rehearsing or doing her show and whatnot, but she's busy and it's not just me. So yeah, I can't imagine. I mean, I did a show in Vegas and she's on freaking Broadway. So yeah, I'm not taking offense to that, but I'm just so proud of her. And I honestly cannot wait to go back and see that show again because I know Brock really wants to see it as well. In season 3, Ariana denied that her mom was texting you about Tom. What's the truth there? And since the affair was revealed, have you and Ariana revisited that whole exchange? If so, does she believe you now? I think it was kind of briefly revisited last season because you found out that she always did know the truth about Miami Girl. So there was no need to really go back and revisit that and have that conversation. I did have conversations with her mom about Sandoval at the time, and all of those were completely in Ariana's defense. I didn't like the way Tom was behaving. I felt like the show had gotten to his head and he was acting really cocky, and that was kind of the conversation I was having with her mom. It was just looking out for our girl and making sure she was happy and not getting buried under Tom. This week, Ariana says that you're 100% softening the blow for when you rekindle your friendship with Tom Sandoval. Is that valid? I can see where she's coming from, but that was not my intent. My motivations here weren't rooted in any plans or desires to be friends with Sandoval again. We also do have a job to do in asking questions that the audience is probably going to want to know answers to. And that was kind of what I was doing in that moment, was like, okay, but like, let's just play devil's advocate, or let's just put out a hypothetical. How would you feel? Because obviously I had had some conversations with him, and I think everyone was kind of wanting to know, like, where do we go from here? And would Ariana ever change her mind, even if it was years down the road? So that's where I was going with that comment. I know there was also another comment she made in her confessional about Sandoval wearing me down, then Lala, then James, and eventually the whole group's fine with him and ices her out. And when I heard her say that, that made me really sad, because if that was Tom's like long con to just gaslight her, ice her out of the friend group or whatever, I mean, those feelings are completely valid. It hits a much deeper chord. And that's the great thing, I think, about reality TV is you get to hear the inner monologues of your friends. You get to reflect on things that you've said and done that you might want to start moving a little differently. And it is just a big mirror. And you get to reflect on the good, the bad, the ugly. But after every season, I hope I grow and I'm a better version of myself. Because look, y'all, I know that I have cringe moments on this show. Sometimes you need a little cringe in reality TV, right? So I'm just here to provide the cringe relief for everyone. I'm going to take a quick little break and I'll be right back. Get a taste of M, a hot new collection of craveable intimates from Maidenform, a brand with a whole lot of history. They've been around since the very first bras, and now they're bringing you a new kind of classic, the chicest basics you've ever seen. So M is a collection from Maidenform. You may have seen it on my Instagram, and I will be posting more because I am obsessed. This is a brand with 100 years of innovation and category leadership. They literally wrote the book on bras, and M is just the next juicy chapter. You have to feel it to believe it. These fabrics are so soft and so comfortable. I have slept in my bra, crop top sort of thing. They have these really yummy, buttery, soft fabrics that feel way more expensive than they are. It's great style that won't break the bank, which is very good for me. They are on-trend designs made from stretchy, comfy fabrics. They have so many incredible colors. And M can be worn as innerwear or outerwear, which is what I love. You can style it to your taste, create looks that serve for all or none to see. I love when you can wear something under, but then also if you get hot, take it off and it's like, ooh, it's a bra, it's a crop top, it's both. Visit maidenform.com and use code Sheena20 at checkout for 20% off your first purchase. That's maidenform.com and use code Sheena20 for 20% off your first order. For all of my ladies out there, you know that vicious week before you get your period when you may feel like crawling out of your own skin. You have pimples that pop up usually on your chin because that's where the hormonal ones come. The cravings, I mean, I know so many of my girlfriends have told me how bad this time of the month is for them. So now I'm going to tell you it is easier to manage PMS with Estro Control. Estro Control is a formula developed by Happy Mammoth. It's a supplement company dedicated to making women's lives easier. Estro Control contains science-backed herbal extracts that help support hormonal health, especially in women who suffer from PMS. So let me tell you, the way Estro Control eases PMS is quite interesting. The ingredients help support the liver, and that's where our hormones get processed, especially estrogen. So when the estrogen isn't processed well in the liver, women may start having PMS, spots on the skin, they get cravings, and feel low all of a sudden. Estro Control was created to help women feel like themselves all throughout the month, because PMS can rob them of a week of their lives every month, and that is so not fair. For a limited time, you can get 15% off your first order at happymammoth.com. Just use code GOODASGOLD at checkout. All right, on to Sandoval. Do you recognize that Sandoval is extremely toxic? Did you see his Vile Files interview? I did not see it. I saw clips on TikTok and Instagram Reels, and that was more than enough to see of both of those guys. Why be friends with the guy who is ready to support Raquel and her legal claims against you? Okay. I just want to point out that making peace with someone is different than wanting to be their friend again. I wanted to make peace so I wasn't triggered by his presence anymore. And I needed to do what was best for my mental health so I could start sleeping well again at night and being present for my kid during the day. It's like I'm on a show with this person. I needed to get to a place where I could film with him, be at the same venue as him, and not have such a strong knee-jerk reaction where when someone walks in the room, like I've experienced this for years, usually with the women on this show, when Stassi or Katie or Kristen and I were fighting back in the day and they would come in the room and I just kind of would clam up and get that tight chest feeling and just like my palms are sweaty and I'm just like, ugh, I was so uncomfortable. And it's not a good feeling. It is not healthy for me to feel that way. So if I'm trying to make peace with someone, so when they walk in a room, it's just like, hey, what's up? You know, like he said, when we were at the airport, I was just like, oh, hey, we're over here. That was it. It was just like, I need to do that for me, because having that hatred and anger inside was tearing me apart. It was not good. It was affecting the way I was parenting, and it just wasn't good for me. So making peace and being friends is two very different things. That meditation scene was really uncomfortable to watch. Why did you sit there next to Sandoval? Was it assigned seating? Did you know you'd be breaking off into partner work? So when we first came to the mats, I originally sat where Brock sat in between Allie and Lala. I didn't know it was like a partner thing or whatever. And the instructor asked me to please sit on the end. And I was like, okay, is this like camera blocking? Like what? And so when she told me she needed me to move, that's when I sat over there. I now see why they wanted me to move, because they wanted us to do the whole turn the back partner exchange, which was extremely uncomfortable. I was not in a good place that day. I felt very under the weather. I did not want to do that whatsoever. But I also was like, look, you got a job to do, and this is your job today. So suck it up and try to get through this. And maybe there can be some healing on the other side of this. It felt very manipulative when the meditation guide made you look Sandoval in the face and imagine it would be the last time you ever saw him. How did you feel about that? Did you feel uncomfortable being forced to participate in that? Yes, that felt extremely uncomfortable. That was the moment when she was saying that and we're looking in each other's eyes and he started crying. That was the moment where I was like, oh fuck, he really does miss me as his friend. And I immediately started feeling guilt, because I'm like, Ariana deserves genuine tears from you. Ariana deserves these feelings. Why is it being directed at me? And so there was a mix of emotions going through, but also remembering who he used to be to me, but no longer was. And it was just a clusterfuck of emotions, to put it candidly. When you said that you still fucking hate him and went back inside the house, why did you even come back out? Do you regret that? I was just trying to get through my job that day. I don't regret going back out. I was proud of myself for pushing through something extremely hard. But yeah, that was not easy and it was not fun. Looking at your podcast past, I can't see when it was canceled. We see that it wasn't. Okay, so when I said it was canceled, Podcast One, who I was originally with for Shenanigans, dropped like 50% of their shows in March of 2020. And my show was one of the many that got dropped. I wanted to continue Shenanigans, so I started doing it on my own, which also then cost me money out of pocket because I had to pay someone hourly to edit the podcast. I don't do any editing at all. So as much as I still wanted to put the show out, I'm like, okay, cool. Now I have to get someone who can do this for me and upload it and all of that. So We did it on our own for a bit. I put it on Patreon for a bit. So the podcast has always been there. I just wasn't with the company. Therefore, I was making $0 in ad revenue. So that job, on top of the show being on pause for almost 2 years, zero brand deals were coming in during that time. And if you guys have heard Kristen Doty's podcast, I know she explains a little more about her position she was in on the show at the time. So take with that what you want. But I just wasn't in a good financial position after season 8. And I had bills to take care of. And Tom did help both Kristen and I out. I know she declined it at the time. I did accept it. And I said, I'm going to pay you back. And he's like, no, you're not. I'm never accepting you to pay me back. And I was like, okay, then I'm going to do something really cool for you. And that year, you actually never even saw it on the show. His whole birthday party, season 9, was completely cut. We did this Western themed birthday. And I got him this crystal. It was like a Swarovski crystal replica, something or another. Maybe it wasn't Swarovski. Those were the real ones. Whatever it was. It was very expensive motorcycle helmet that was a replica of something that Post Malone wore. And I was in a better position at that time. And I got him this as a birthday gift because he was like, I'm not taking the money back. And then Brock was like, I want to build you an axe throwing yard. And so we were trying to just do fun things that equaled the amount of money he gave us because he refused to take it back because that was just who he was to us back then. Why were you so broke during the pandemic? Yeah. I think I just explained that. Okay, from Ariana to Tom to Katie. How are you and Katie? So we're in a good place. We, as much as I'm seeing now her inner monologue and everything she says about me on the show, her and I didn't really have any negative exchanges this season. I felt like we were pretty solid throughout. We also just filmed something really fun together that I believe will be out in April, and I can't wait for y'all to see that. I was at her very intimate, close friends Christmas party at her birthday dinner with only like 7 other people. So, I mean, I think her and I are in a good place. Okay, thoughts on Katie calling you a male sympathizer. So I'm not going to lie. At first, I was a bit annoyed when I heard what she said on the after show, especially as I heard about it while we were both on set filming this project together. But I felt like she was just doing the Katie thing and trying to get a jab in there. However, after taking some time to sit with that and kind of better understand where she's coming from and forming that opinion, I can see why she would feel that way. At the core of my friendship with Katie, there's a lot of love. So when you peel back all of the layers, as much as we've gone at each other, we do genuinely love each other. She has a sharp tongue. I, you know, can be a people pleaser at times, which gets me in trouble. But the issue is, I think that those layers have been built up from negative experiences we've had with each other over the 12 years of our friendship. It's like, I feel like if Katie and I went to couples therapy, we would be in a really good place. I think if we had someone come in and just kind of, you know, mediate of how to explain things to each other. And we did have some of those moments this season where we had really good conversations. I think that could help. I also think Katie has always been triggered by my closeness to Tom Sandoval, who she has always had a bad relationship with. She's never really liked him from day one. So I think that my closeness with Sandoval is also largely built on who he was for me and how he was there for me when all of the girls in this group bullied me in the beginning. It was like Tom was the only person who was nice to me when this show started, which is why I begged Ariana to do the show. Because I was like, girl, I'm about to lose my job if you don't come on the show because I have no one to film with. I only have Tom, and Tom is with Kristen, and Kristen doesn't like me. And it was not an easy position to be in. I felt like I have fought so hard for my place in this group for so long. And my friendship with Sandoval to Katie, I think for her was almost a validation of his abusive behavior towards her. And it also maybe reminds her of her marital struggles with Schwartz, where, you know, it was kind of a common theme where Schwartz didn't really have her back. And he tended to stick up for everyone else other than his wife, which was not okay. And I can imagine after years what that would do to someone and how that would make them feel. And especially when it came to Sandoval, it was like Schwartz was usually against Katie to be Team Tom. So I can't imagine how hard that was for her. But after, you know, 5 months of us reconnecting and rebuilding our friendship without Sandoval in the picture, I can now understand why that moment of me struggling in grief over losing this friendship could be triggering to her. And I think, again, like I said, that's just where my people-pleasing tendencies get me in trouble. And it's like, I don't want to make anyone feel bad, but in the process, I make things worse and I make everyone feel bad. That's never my intention, and I am working on that. I think it's hard to rewire our brains to undo decades of patterned behavior. And I know I will not have a perfect record moving forward, but to all the people out there, I want you to know I do recognize it. I am actively working on this, and I'm also actively working on rewiring my brain through EMDR therapy. I saw there was another question that came in about what have I done with my postpartum OCD to help me just cope with that. And EMDR therapy, I'm telling y'all, it legitimately works. Your brain gets rewired, reprocessed, and it's like something that affected me so much going into my session. I could be at a level 9, a level 10. I come out of it, I'm anywhere between a 0 to a 2. After every session I've had, I've gotten pretty close to feeling a 1. And then the effects even last longer than that, to where a few days, a week later, I'm like, actually, I feel like I'm at a 0. I feel like that's not bothering me at all anymore. So I highly recommend any type of therapy like that. Reiki, I think, is also great. But I am an EMDR stan. And for those of you who don't know what it is, look it up. But it is eye movement desensitization reprocessing, I believe it stands for. And it's life changing. Absolutely incredible. Okay, I'm going to take one more quick break, and then we're going to get into some more questions. Be right back. And now it's the time when I talk to you about what I eat in a week. And I talk to you about this all the time because legitimately, y'all, this is what fills my fridge. And that is Factor, the always fresh, never frozen meals that are chef crafted. They are dietitian approved, and they are ready to go in just 2 minutes. They get delivered straight to your door, and there's so many options. Literally, over 35 different options to choose from every week. They have so many different plans if you want to do calorie smart, protein plus. They have keto, vegetarian, and vegan options for even myself and Brock, who are meat eaters. I love so many of the vegetarian and vegan pastas that I get. It's a way that you can just fuel up fast. Factor has restaurant quality meals that are ready to heat and eat whenever you are. For all of my busy people out there, whether you're a parent, you're just working, or you're just on the go all of the time, there are so many options for you outside of the meals. They have smoothies, they have wellness shots, and it's no prep, no mess. It makes figuring out what we're going to do for breakfast, lunch, and dinner so much easier. Factor is the perfect solution if you're looking for fast, premium options with no cooking required. Sign up and save. We've done the math. And Factor is actually less expensive than takeout. And every meal, like I said, is dietitian approved to be nutritious and delicious. Head to factormeals.com/goodasgold50 and use code goodasgold50 to get 50% off. That's code goodasgold50 at factormeals.com/goodasgold50 to get 50% off. And also for all of my busy parents out there who are looking for some fun things to do with their kids that are easy and don't require too much thinking on your own, KiwiCo does that for you. They deliver seriously fun learning projects for kids of all ages. So many activities ranging from what's great for an infant to preschoolers to teens and beyond. Each month, kids receive crates packed with engaging hands-on activities designed to introduce them to exciting science, technology, and art concepts. There's always something new for kids to discover, and that's what I love about KiwiCo. As someone who has not always been the most creative, artsy person, this is perfect for me. The instructions are easy. The projects are fun. I love doing them with Summer. It's our little bit of quality time we get each time we get a new crate delivered to our door. It takes me back to childhood too. I felt like I wasn't a super crafty kid, and this is just a fun project to do with Summer. Always something new where they can discover real science, technology, engineering, art, different math concepts. And it's just a lot of fun hands-on projects that come, like I said, delivered to your door every month. Each crate is designed by real experts and, most importantly, tested by kids to ensure that every experience is age-appropriate, engaging, and seriously fun. Redefine learning with play. Explore projects that build confidence and problem-solving skills with KiwiCo. Get 50% off your first month on any crate line at kiwico.com with promo code HONEY. That's 50% off your first month at kiwico.com, promo code HONEY. And we're back with some more fun questions. If VPR hadn't been successful, where would you be? What would you do? Well, considering I was just on set of a scripted sitcom with a live audience this week, I feel like that's where I would be. I would be hosting. And those are still things that I want to do. I want to continue the success on Vanderpump Rules as long as I can. But getting to do acting on top of Vanderpump Rules, throw in some hosting in the future, that is where I think I would have been. And I think I still will be. How are you feeling going into the reunion? I still have a few episodes to binge tonight before we film. But I don't know. Honestly, I feel like I'm always feeling good about going in, but I'm also at the same time feeling nervous about going in and feeling anxious. But then I'm like, no, I feel good because I'm in a good place. I'm in a good place with the girls. But then you hear everything everyone says and then you watch the after show and I'm like, shit, are you mad at me? Like, we just had dinner last night. I thought we were good. So yeah, I can only, you know, show up, tell my truth, do my best, and hope for the best. So yeah, that's how I'm feeling. What's something good you took away from filming this season? Honestly, I think putting it all out there and not being afraid of the backlash, whether that was me taking a stance, and as much as I know everyone says I make everything about me and I've always put myself first, I really genuinely do try to put everyone else's feelings before mine. And I think this season I was like, I do need to do what's best for me. You know, maybe if that's extending grace to someone who is suicidal and doing things that help me have inner peace, at the end of the day, that's what I need to do because that is what's best for me and to make me the best version of myself for my daughter. If it's arguing with my husband and putting that out there and doing something that was basically exposure therapy, because I don't think I've ever really argued with a partner on Vanderpump Rules, I think just trying to be the most open and authentic version of myself and dealing with the backlash is what I took away. Just being true to myself. And, you know, people want to say whatever they want to say about my music and I can't sing, but it's like, okay, I'm still doing something I enjoy doing and something that my daughter is so proud to watch me do. She loves my songs. She loves to see me perform. She loves to dance with me. And at the end of the day, that means more to me than what some trolls on the internet have to say. Hence my song Sweet and Sour for all of the trolls and mean girls out there. You can stream it now on Spotify, download it on Apple Music, and more songs to come. Sorry, not sorry. Okay, did you move? Yes, this week we moved. Shout out to Roadway Moving. They were incredible. I've had several friends move with them and they just made everything so easy. Packed it all, did it all. So yes, in the new house officially this week. It was bye-bye to the west side, which is honestly really sad. I've been close to the beach since 2018. That felt like home, whether it was Marina or San Diego, but Marina for the past 2 years, and I will definitely miss being on the west side, but having more space, having a backyard, and just everything for summer to grow up in is really amazing. And the fact that we could walk to Lala's house in about 7.5 minutes is just the best. Like, her brother even came over the other day and was helping me move stuff. He's like, oh my God, it's literally like around the corner. We're around the corner. We're next door to each other. For our daughters to get to grow up together and go to school together, which was our dream when they were born. But one of those things that you don't know if it's actually going to happen. Are you going to choose to settle down in the same city? I was very anti-Valley, but the fact that we're actually doing it, I'm so happy. Which exes that we know do you still talk to? So I try not to keep in close contact with my exes. Max and I are still friends. We've always been friends. Him and Brock actually even knew each other back in San Diego before I met Brock. You will see a little bit more of the Max of it all later this season. But outside of Max, Rob occasionally will reach out. I'll text Shay to check in a couple times a year, maybe. I guess those are my only exes, really, that y'all know. Adam, I never considered an ex. I don't see or talk to him, but I ran into him once and it was a pleasant exchange. Made a penguin joke and moved on. What was your first interaction with a fan like? Oh my gosh, I wish I remembered. I think it might have been when we were in New York for Watch What Happens Live and we got recognized for the first time. That was kind of wild because I remember we were sitting at a cafe, myself, Stassi, Jax, and Sandoval, and someone came up to us. And I remember that day I hit 10K on Instagram, which was wild. And Jax, Stassi, and Sandoval weren't at 10K yet. Obviously, everyone has, you know, just completely grown since then. But that was around the first time I can remember an interaction with a fan. Yeah, wow. I can't believe how long this show has been on. It's just wild. And so blessed to still be able to do this and so thankful for all of you for following us on this journey since I hit that 10K. It's been really incredible to just be able to live our lives and put it all out there for your entertainment, but also hopefully for you to relate to. How do you feel about Raquel's podcast promo showing clips of you talking about Tom Sandoval? I did hear about that, you know. Good on her. I heard it was her passion project. She spent like 2 days on. I just want to say thank you for the views. And yeah, if that's part of her healing journey and doing things like this, you know, help her heal and move forward, then I wish her the best. I really do. I think everyone deserves to have their voice heard on whatever platform they may be. And if this is her way of healing, like I said, then, you know, more power to her. And again, thank you for all the views. Do you see yourself leaving reality TV in the next couple of years to pursue other career goals? No, I want to be Garcelle and I want to do it all. Do you see a version of Vanderpump Rules existing without you on the cast? Sure. I mean, I've thought about this before. After I had Summer and the show came back for season 9, I definitely wasn't like 100%, oh my God, I can't wait to come back. It was a lot of discussions of, is this what we want for our family? We've figured out how to get by without the show for a year and a half, almost 2 years. So is this really what I want to do? And after a lot of thought and a lot of conversations, we decided that, yeah, this is something we want to do. I enjoy doing, and I hope to do it for many years to come. It doesn't necessarily have to be Vanderpump Rules, you know? I mean, that show can exist without any one of us except Lisa Vanderpump, because it is Vanderpump Rules, but that's where there's the valley, you know? I mean, the show can go on without any individual person. I hope it never goes on without me, because I love what I do, but at the end of the day, it's not my show, it's Lisa's. So thank you guys so much for sending in all of your questions. I hope you continue to enjoy the season and show me some grace. I need to finish prepping for the reunion, go get my nails done. We're going to go a little shorter this year, not so I can make a fist, but because I'm just going to switch it up. So thank you guys so much for listening and for watching. And we will be back next week with Janet from the Valley. Bye. Sheena Shea.
Shea FK. Thanks for listening to Shenanigans with Sheena Shea. Download new episodes every week on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, or wherever you get your podcasts.
'Please note that this episode may contain paid endorsements and advertisements for products and services. Individuals on the show may have a direct or indirect financial interest in products or services referred to in this episode.